losing money in the stock market roller coaster? Frustrated with the government taxing you into oblivion? Worried about inflation? How do you prepare for so many financial uncertainties? Welcome to the show that will help you develop your game plan. The Financial Quarterback with Josh Jelinski. Josh is a noted financial advisor and president of the Jelinski Advisory Group, and he's here to answer your questions. Call into the show at 800-321-0710. 800-321-0710. Now, let's kick off your financial future. Here's Josh Jelinski.
This is Josh Jelinski, the Financial Quarterback. We're doing a whole, we'll do some oldies hour for those of you who've requested it. And we love that you check out our YouTube. Go to YouTube.com and search for The Financial Quarterback. And we're going to be playing tunes all hour. So by request, some of you have said, now, why did the tunes go? Well, that's because when you do a YouTube show, you can't have the tunes. And then when you do a live show with no tunes, you can.
This is Josh Jelinski, the Financial Quarterback, taking your calls on all matters financial at 800-321-0710. If you have questions on stocks, bonds, annuities, mutual funds, whatever question you have, no question is a dumb one except the one that you do not ask. We're talking today about the new Secure Act 2.0, also known as the Son of Sam. Dun, dun, dun. Son of Secure Act. And the Secure Act, by the way, if you don't realize this, this changed the face of estate planning on your IRAs forever. You might say, what do you mean by that, Josh? Well, if you have an IRA or 401k, your kids have 10 years to spend down the money, and it goes on their tax return. So it incentivizes you to do Roth conversion planning as well as life insurance, because life insurance, you don't have to do that. And trusts and things like that. So basically, it used to be, if you were a middle-class person, you loved an IRA, your kids, they could stretch the distributions out over their life expectancy so they weren't killed with taxes. Because when you have a 401k or IRA, you tax deferred that account for sometimes 40, even 50 years. So the government never got their tax revenue from you. Does that make sense? So the Secure Act came along and said, well, you know, Mitt Romney has a $100 million IRA, or $60 million. It was revealed in 2012, so it's got to be at least $120 million probably by now with the gains in the market. And people said, you know what, that's, you know, it was not intended to be a estate planning vehicle for the rich. It was intended to help you with your groceries when you're retired. So they changed the planning in IRAs, and they said, well, we're going to give you a benefit. We're going to make it so you can... I mean, the two biggest benefits of the Secure Act were annuities within a 401k, which, I don't know, to me is kind of dumb, because as you're growing your money, unless you're older and I guess you want it to be more conservative, but you usually do IRAs after, you know, maybe you're 50, and most people do their 401ks from, let's say, 25 to 55, and maybe an annuity makes sense in your 50, you know, when you're over 50. But generally speaking, you know, the big benefits of the Secure Act was you could add annuities within your 401k. That's benefit number one. Number two benefit was, we're going to hike the required minimum distribution age from 70 and a half to 72, which really isn't that big of a benefit. I mean, just think about it. So you get a year and a half of deferral, but your kids lose tax deferral in arguably one of the best estate planning vehicles that I can remember. And that's the trade-off. It's horrible. So we've talked about, are you ready for the Son of Secure Act on yesterday's show, which is available on podcasts, the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts. If you have an Apple, just search for the podcast app and type in The Financial Quarterback. If you have a Google Android phone, go to the Google Play Store where you can look up apps, Stitcher, all of those various app programs, Anchor FM, Spotify. And I gave 13 changes that are on the horizon for the SECURE Act. And there are a lot of them, increasing the required first-year RMD from 72 to age 75. They say over time. What does that mean? I think they should do it right away. It's like the one thing I'm excited for. And then, so we gave 13 changes in the new law, but I'd love to hear from you at 800-321-0710. Now, prices are going up from gas and groceries to computers, cars, clothing, basically anything that begins with a C. Coffee. Thank you. My son was giving me coffee today. Thank you so much. He what a good son. And then I got baby Billy in the background up against the door with his nose pressed into the glass. So basically, computers, cars, clothing, and coffee. Americans are paying more for everyday expenses. As the economy reopens in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic, consumers are putting their stimulus checks and stashed cash to work. Yet all that spending, coupled with supply chain setbacks, is driving prices higher and higher, decreasing your purchasing power over time. Inflation is the cost of an expanding economy, said one planner, Douglas Bonaparte. I don't see that as the case. I think inflation is a real problem. Inflation means we've printed too much money. Last month, inflation accelerated at its fastest pace in more than 12 years as the economy recovery kicked into gear. Americans expecting inflation over the next few years also hit its highest level in nearly a decade. According to another report by the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, overall the expectation is that the inflation rate will be up 3.4%. Folks, you heard this with me. In January, I said hyperinflation is here. And it's here. And now the data confirms it. When you go up, you know, PPI, I think, is up 6% over the month. You do that for 12 months, that's hyperinflation. Now, maybe it's not. Maybe Lacey Hunt is right, and it's really disinflationary. Because with so much money printing and stimulus, if this is all we're going to get, well, hey, maybe we will have greater problems than inflation. Overall, the expected inflation rate will be up to 3.4% 1 year from now. It's highest level since 2013, and 3.1% 3 years from now, the Fed survey found. For the average consumer, some inflation isn't necessarily bad, particularly compared with last year when the COVID crisis caused a widespread shutdown of the economy. Price rebounds coming out of a recession is normal. Many households are well-equipped to weather those rising costs, although the diverging nature of the recovery has left others facing long-term unemployment, eviction, and food insecurity. Possible eviction. For homeowners, the best way to hedge against inflation and create some breathing room in your budget is to refinance your mortgage if you haven't already. With mortgage rates near historic lows, households may even be able to cut their payments by $100 to $200 a month. If you don't own a home, there are other opportunities to refinance high interest debt. Lower interest rates from credit cards to personal loans can be a great tool for consolidating and reducing monthly expenses. Now we're going to go to Mark, who has a question on being bullish. Go ahead, Mark. You're on with Josh Jelinski, the financial quarterback.
Yes, Josh. I just wanted to know, is Stan Harley bullish right now. I know he had said something about a downturn, but then bullish afterwards. What's he talking about now?
Yeah, we should get Stan on for his take on
the
market.
It's been like November since he was on.
Yeah, we should definitely get him on. So, yeah, we'll get Stan on, give us a market outlook. I believe he thinks we might have a little pullback in the summer or something, you know, from like June to like July 4th. And I think he's generally bullish still, but he thinks we got a couple more weeks left in my talks with him. But we'll see, you know. I mean, his views change, are subject to change at any time.
Can I ask you, I know he manages funds with you. Are they, like, do you have an IRA with you guys? Or how do you get into, like, Stan's fund that
he
manages?
Yeah, Stan's our chief market strategist for the firm now. And he has a strategy with us called the tactical strategy. And basically where he watches on a week-by-week basis, and our investment committee meets, and they make changes as the economy shifts almost weekly. It's shifting from bullish to bearish, then bearish to bullish. So they make the changes for you on a fiduciary fee-based account with no commissions. We hold those generally through Fidelity or Schwab, and basically you can have an IRA or a non-IRA account. And if you want to know more about that, call us at 888-988-JOSH, and Dave and our team can schedule you for your no-obligation second opinion on your money. And you can also hear Stan's daily outlook. You know, the day that you happen to do the webinar, we can get him on and get his outlook for the day. But, yeah, generally speaking, we are seeing a couple weeks potentially of bullishness. Some weakness in the summer. We could see a sharp drop in the summer, early summer, like June. So I guess it's really late spring. And then he's still generally bullish for the next, I would say, 6 to 8 months, something like that. And then all bets are off after that, I think. So he sort of thinks things will start to head south after that. But I'm not, you know, that could, you know, with cycles, right? Like we don't, you know, cycles rhyme, but you could have a market, right, where inflation's rampant and the S&P's, you know, well, the Dow's 38,000, right? So
yeah.
People forget that inflation may cause stocks to go up. So great question. Any other questions before we let you go for the first break of the hour?
No, that's it. I just want to thank you, Josh. I love your show. Listen to you every Saturday and Sunday. Thank you very much.
Wonderful. And we'll try to get Stan on for an update. Folks, this is Josh Jelinski, the financial quarterback. And call us right now at 888-988-JOSH for your free retirement reality check. And you get a free book when you schedule and keep your no-obligation review from my library. 888-988-JOSH.
It's always on your mind. Retirement. Whether you're 55 or 35. Not everyone wants to work forever, and most would like a comfortable retirement. You may already have a plan, but is it the right one? Josh Jelinski, host of the popular Financial Quarterback radio program, is ready to guide you towards financial freedom. He challenges the ways your parents and grandparents saved money with fresh strategies, which are exactly what you need to navigate today's volatile economic climate. Josh's new book, Retirement Reality Check, is available to order on Amazon. It's an easy read that guides you through his system for securing your financial freedom, including tax-saving strategies, understanding the right investment mix, and more. Order now. Retirement Reality Check. Call Josh at 888-988-JOSH. Let Josh help you map out your retirement using fresh strategies. Call 888-988-5674. That's 888-988-5674.
Hey, meet you out on the first tee?
Yeah, I'll be right there. Just reading this article.
On what?
New bill Congress passed. Looks like it's going to affect the value of all retirement savings plans. My financial guy didn't tell me about this when I saw him the other day.
Well, my guy did, and we made a plan. You may have heard of him, Josh Jelinski.
Josh Jelinski is your guy?
Listen, if you're 10 years or less from retirement,
which I am,
Josh will give you a free economic plan, which includes retirement planning, a 27-point checklist to make sure your income lasts as long as you live. He'll even help you navigate the current tax code.
I'm definitely going to call Josh.
Cool, but first, can we play some golf?
Call Josh Jelinski, host of the popular Financial Quarterback radio program, for your free economic plan. 888-988-JOSH. 888-988-JOSH. 888-988-JOSH.
Billy has joined us in the studio. So I came back, and Billy, all of a sudden, he took the microphone, and he wants to say hi to everybody. Say hi to everybody. So next up, we're going to go to the phone lines, and we have Rich on SPACs. Go ahead, Rich. You're on with Josh Jelinski, the financial quarterback.
Hi, Josh. It's a pleasure to speak with you. I have a question for you on SPACs. I'd basically like to know what you have to say about them as an investment.
Well, it depends on the SPAC. It depends on what they're trying to do. I think you got to be careful. I think certain SPACs have opportunity and certain have perils. So the SPAC is a special purpose acquisition company, also known as a blank check company. Right. It's a shell corporation that's listed on a stock exchange with the purpose of acquiring a private company, thus making it public without going through some of the traditional initial public offering process. Mm-hmm. So the negative is, hey, you know, maybe they aren't going to actually acquire what they are acquiring. Mm-hmm. And so SPACs, basically, it's a blind pool of cash raised by a financial sponsor through an IPO to acquire a private operating company. Acquisition typically within 24 months, they target the operating company, and then they have a listed successor company, which is essentially a publicly listed operating company. And they try to create value through highly incentivized management structure. So,
okay. Yeah, are they generally pretty risky?
They could be. There could be opportunity as well. So the risk, there are six general downsides to SPACs: expenses for the target company. Sponsors pay nominal amounts for 20% of the SPAC shares before the acquisition. This leads to a costly loss of equity for the target company. Sponsor quality, there are some other risks. Initial investors are betting on the sponsor, not on the company. This gives sponsors a lot of power and adds a new layer of risk for investors. Time constraints. Sponsors usually have 2 years to find and acquire a company where everyone's money is returned. If the deadline is approaching, the sponsor may rush to find any viable company to acquire. So there are certain risks. Retail investors see all the risk and little of the reward of the SPACs. They don't get to redeem their shares if they don't like the merger, and they don't get warrants to buy more shares in the future if they do. But in the case of some SPACs, it can be a way for you to get in on something before it pops. You know, so we see some opportunity, but you have to be careful, you know.
Yeah. In the event that there is no acquisition, they have to return the money. The amount that's returned is what whatever price the SPAC is trading at the time, or do you get back 100% of the principal?
Well, if you're retail, there's risk there. If you're a sponsor, you get the money back. If you're a retail investor, you get the risk. You just get the shares of whatever it's worth. So it could be worth 40 and then go down to $10. It could be worth 10 and it could go to 40. So it's just like stock in that way. So you got to be careful. Now, sometimes they work. You know, it was very interesting, and we own this for some people. You know, I think long term, I see value in Lucid, which is the Tesla competitor. And in the interest of full disclosure, we own it. You know, they basically created a SPAC for the purpose of buying Lucid. Well, the risk was, what? Let's say Lucid didn't want to buy. You know what I mean? But it ended up buying, and what was interesting is after it was purchased, the stock then went down. Now, that could be due to GameStop-type people shorting SPACs. There has been some of that, that they want to short these rich people. But I think there are interesting opportunities, but you got to be careful. You know, it's not something for the faint at heart, you know. So, you know, for me, I like the opportunity to buy in at a company at, you know, whatever, $10 a share, $20 a share, that could become the next, you know, Tesla, but it could also become nothing, right? It could, you know, stocks could go up and they could go down. So you got to be careful about that. Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Appreciate it.
Wonderful. Next up, we have Lydia with Irrevocable Trust Investments. Go ahead, Lydia.
Yes, good morning, Josh. Thank you very much for your program. I admire how wonderful family person you are, and also I admire your business approach and the program you do. Thank you so very much.
Yeah, we couldn't help it. Billy, he just hijacked the studio. That's a problem when you have an office with no lock on the door. Right, Billy?
He's
very quiet, though. You just hear his little toy in the background. Say hi, Billy.
Uh-huh.
No,
okay.
He doesn't want to say
that's
hi.
Good.
Okay.
That's cute. I have a question. I set up the irrevocable trust for my child, and maybe it was not a good idea for irrevocable trust, but I cannot do anything now. What do you think about investing in a municipal bond, a New York municipal? Does it a smart idea, or what is your opinion?
Depends what the rates are, depends what the credit quality of the bonds are. If you want us to analyze the bonds you're holding from a perspective.
Through the mutual funds, municipal bond, is it different?
Oh, yeah, well, when you own the bonds through a fund, the benefit is you're diversified. So you're relying on a manager who has experience in picking the bonds, so it's a little better than you picking them. But the share price could go down if interest rates go up. So we could analyze the bond funds for you if you call us at 888-988-JOSH. When you hold the bond, you only lose money if the municipality defaults. So theoretically, a bond fund has no protection of principal, where a bond, so long as the company or municipality doesn't go under, gives you some protection there.
Okay, what is the best investment for a revocable trust?
For a revocable trust or an irrevocable trust?
Irrevocable.
Well, I like tax-deferred or tax-free investing for irrevocable trusts, because then as you have an irrevocable trust, you're not paying tax on tax.
Mm-hmm.
So irrevocable trust, I guess this is what you're getting at, that if you make more than a certain amount in irrevocable trust, you pay the highest tax rate. Is that what you're getting at?
Yes.
So when you have a trust, you have to be very careful of the taxation. So you want to generally invest in things that do not throw off dividends, interest, or capital gains that are taxable. Mm-hmm. Those would be stocks that do not pay a dividend. Those would be funds that do not pay a dividend. Those could be municipal bonds. Those could be municipal bond funds. They could also be annuities that are tax deferred that buy into index funds. You can buy very low cost annuities as well that would not throw off interest, dividends, and capital gains. I'm not telling you to do any of those things. I'm just saying those are options.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you have dividend paying stock in a trust or taxable corporate bond interest, that's generally not good, because then you're paying extra tax on that money. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, that was why was the municipal selected, because no payment on New York, on the state and federal taxes.
Yeah, I just would have to see the credit quality of the bonds, the leverage of the bonds. I mean, I don't want to give you a yes or no answer.
I understand. I'll call you then.
You know, and that's with anything. You know, the last guy with SPACs, well, it depends on the SPAC. It depends on the bond fund. You know, you have to analyze everything on its own merits. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank
you
so
very
much.
You could have a bond fund. A lot of people don't know that some bond funds have leverage, which means they're loaning money to give you a better yield. And they're loaning money to get you the better yield. And the problem is if interest rates go up, that bond fund's going to go down. So you got to be careful. Okay, so we'll take a short break. And when we return, we'll be back with James, who worries about the future of Social Security, and more of your questions at 800-321-0710. So Lydia, give us a call, 888-988-JOSH, for a free retirement reality check, 888-988-JOSH. 888-988-JOSH. We'll be back after these messages.
In these uncertain financial times, it is imperative that you guard your financial future. If you call within the next 3 minutes, we will offer our complimentary bear market survival guide, which will detail steps to help your plan to potentially survive the COVID-19 crisis. The bear market survival guide will cover how you might still be able to retire amid a volatile economic climate. We will throw in our complimentary 27-point ultimate game plan for retirement. Call us at 888-988-JOSH, 888-988-5674 for your bear market survival guide.
Call Josh Jelinski, host of the popular Financial Quarterback radio program, 888-988-JOSH, 888-988-JOSH.
Jojo left his home in Tucson, Arizona.
Don't be a loner. Get back some of your time. Time's your most precious commodity. Sure, you can do a lot of your investing yourself these days, but it takes up all your day and stress, and that's why it's great to hire a fee-based fiduciary so you can sit back, relax, and enjoy the rest of your life. Time's our most precious commodity. You don't want to be stuck at home in retirement. I've met people, they spend their whole retirement on CNBC because they're worried about the market. It's no way to live, folks. I want to enjoy my retirement. What about you? So give us a call, 888-988-JOSH, for our Enjoying Retirement review, 888-988-JOSH. Next up, James. He worries about the future of Social Security. Go ahead.
Good morning, Josh. I'm looking at Bob Carlson's book, Where's My Money? I got this from my financial advisor this past Friday. And I'm looking at the 2034 is when the Social Security Trust Fund is supposed to run out. Now, the buzzword going around America today is inflation, inflation, inflation. If we have a couple of years of 3 to 4% inflation, obviously the COLA rate goes up. Social Security recipients receive more money, which is great for them. But I'm saying the higher inflation goes, will that 2034 trust fund even be exhausted a lot sooner?
Well, probably, but they might have been calculating that. But I don't, and I know who this is. Hey, how you doing, James? It's good to hear your voice. So I always love when people try to disguise themselves, but I know their voice. So yeah, you didn't really disguise yourself. So as it relates to Social Security, I think they're just going to tax us to death, inflate away the money supply. They're not going to cut Social Security. Because you would have, what they could do is go to universal basic income, of which Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, all gets eroded. And there's one government payment system, one government health system, like a single payer. And then Medicare, which is one of the best health insurance programs in the world, will be eroded. I mean, the government is trying to get rid of that benefit because that costs ton of money. And if the government controls everything, then there could be a real, you know, problem. But as far as Social Security, I know there are certain people really worried about Social Security going bankrupt and stuff. I'm not worried about that because they'll just inflate away the debt. That's what they're doing now. $28.2 trillion and counting. They'll just have rampant inflation. It's happening now.
And when you have interest rates below 1%, you get 3 or 4, 5% interest rates. that debt goes up even faster because interest on that deficit is going to explode into hundreds of billions of dollars. And just to get back to Social Security, the maximum payment is now $142,800, where you would pay $8,853, which is 6.2%. You know, the next argument from the politicians is going to be a millionaire would still pay the same $8,853, but that would be only 0.89%. The argument is going to be, well, the millionaires, they're not paying their fair share into Social Security. Someone making $142,000 is putting in 6.2%, a millionaire putting in less than 1%. That's going to be the next argument, possibly down the road. What do you think?
Oh, I think you're right. We've already heard Republicans talk about means testing Social Security, which to me is a sham. And the idea of lifting the cap. And what James is talking about is if you have wages, let's say you make $1 million a year. You are taxed on your first $142,000. You're not really taxed 6.2 because most people make $1 million a year. They're self-employed. You're basically taxed 15% on the first $142,000 because you got Medicare taxes, Social Security taxes, and the like. So those people are already taxed 37 cents on every dollar they make. So they're already giving the federal government, if you have a millionaire, if somebody makes $1 million a year, they're already giving the federal government $300,000 a year. They're already giving the state government $80,000 to $100,000 a year, depending on what state they live in. If they live in New York or New Jersey or a high tax state, if they're living in a lower tax state like Pennsylvania, they're giving them like $30,000 or $40,000. They live in a no tax state like Florida, zero state income tax. So I think, you know, the whole idea with the Tea Party was we were taxed enough already. So I think they're taxed enough already, but that is going to be a logic. But here's why I think it's fair. We don't want to for the government to be giving the millionaires Social Security on incomes of a million. Because basically what some have called for, like Bernie Sanders and others, is don't give those people paying more into Social Security more benefit. Give them less and have them pay for more of everybody else. But then you're going to disincentivize hard work. And you're also going to say, most people make $1 million a year. They don't pay themselves $1 million a year salary. They might pay them $100,000 or $200,000 or $300,000 or $400,000 a year salary. So you're really not going to get much revenue from that concept. I think I get what you're saying. I've had people even on this show say, oh, well, we need to raise the indexing for Social Security. But I don't think it's fair. You know, I don't think it's fair that people who aren't going to receive the benefit. So what they're trying to say is tax someone on money that they're not going to receive for Social Security. So I think you're right that will probably be a way that they can get more revenue and say, oh, we didn't raise your taxes. We just stopped the loophole that the millionaires were exploiting. Totally. So great point. Any other points you'd like to make, James?
Yeah, I noticed I'm looking at my history of your tax Social Security earnings. In 2009, 10, and 11, the maximum Social Security tax was $106,800, and it was static for those 3 years. And there's a couple of other years here where it was static because there was like no inflation. The government knew that they were going to be running into this problem down the road. They should have had like a buffer in, even if inflation is zero, they should have at least, you know, raised this by like 1 or 2% a year, which would have been harmless. People wouldn't have cared or anything like that.
But I believe they've done that already because we went from 100 to 142. So that's 42% inflation indexing. And I don't know if inflation really grew by that much. I mean, it probably did, but I don't know if the government mandated it.
But if you look at it on a year by year basis, there was a couple of years where it just stayed the same, where there was just no increase, and even the recipients didn't get a COLA increase. I think because this is a problem down the road, what they could have done is even if the inflation rate is zero, the Social Security earnings at least goes up. So if it was like $142,000 right now, there's no inflation, It should go up by at least 1% to make it 145 or 146 if there was no inflation, just to help the security trust fund. But like I said, this is going to be an argument down the road. And, you know, politicians, they love to kick the can down the road. And this is going to be much discussed later on, probably maybe towards the end of this decade.
Yeah, I mean, I could see them try to do this even during this administration, because it's one of these things that people don't even know what you're talking about. You know, the average person listening, and the taxation on Social Security. So people will say, oh, people are taxed not enough. Well, when I break it down that somebody making $1 million is paying like $500 to $600 grand a year in taxes, then they're like, oh, well, that's a lot of money. So to what percentage is the government entitled to one's labor before it's counted as theft? And most people do not realize that 15% of somebody's wages up to $142,000 is taxed for Social Security and Medicare. And then the Medicare tax, I believe, is like unlimited now or something like that. They changed that. So essentially, your millionaire is now paying an extra $30,000 a year to fund Medicaid. So, you know, also, by the way, most millionaires will find a way to get around that. So it really is an archaic system. We have to go to a flat tax, lower rates, 15 to 20%, no loopholes, and then I think that would be much better than what the current system that we have now, like a 15 or 20% flat tax. So thanks so much for the call, James, and we will be back, folks, with your calls at 800-321-0710. So if you have a question for me, give us a call, 800-321-0710. A lot of good calls today. And thank you, James, for calling. We'll be back after these messages.
Josh Jelinski, the financial quarterback here. In these uncertain financial times, it is imperative that you guard your financial future. If you call within the next 3 minutes, we will offer our complimentary bear market survival guide, which will detail steps to help your plan to potentially survive the COVID-19 crisis. The bear market survival guide will cover how you might still be able to retire amid a volatile economic climate. We will throw in our complimentary 27-point ultimate game plan for retirement. Call us at 888-988-JOSH, 888-988-5674 for your bear market survival guide.
Call Josh Jelinski, host of the popular Financial Quarterback radio program, 888-988-JOSH, 888-988-JOSH.
It's always on your mind, retirement, whether you're 55 or 35. Not everyone wants to work forever, and most would like a comfortable retirement. You may already have a plan, but is it the right one? Josh Jelinski, host of the popular Financial Quarterback radio program, is ready to guide you towards financial freedom. He challenges the ways your parents and grandparents saved money with fresh strategies, which are exactly what you need to navigate today's volatile economic climate. Josh's new book, Retirement Reality Check, is available to order on Amazon. It's an easy read that guides you through his system for securing your financial freedom, including tax-saving strategies, understanding the right investment mix, and more. Order now. Retirement Reality Check. Call Josh at 888-988-JOSH. Let Josh help you map out your retirement using fresh strategies. Call 888-988-5674. That's 888-988-5674.
Josh Jelinski, the financial quarterback here, taking your calls at 800-321-0710 on this open line edition of the program. And call us 888-988-JOSH if you want the free retirement reality check. Jeffrey Gundlach says stimulus checks are opening the door to universal basic income. Here's the other thing that I worry about. What happens when no one wants to buy our debt? You know, you have to make our debt attractive And if you have inflation, real estate, stocks, even Bitcoin are more attractive than U.S. treasuries. So eventually the Fed will have to raise interest rates to reward people for giving money to the federal government. It's not just going to be enough to be the cleanest shirt in the laundry pile, the cleanest dirty shirt in the laundry pile. Eh? So give us a call now, 800-321-0710, 800-321-0710. We're talking to you with any financial question you have at 800-321-0710. So just think about that. 21 trillion in Social Security liabilities. Listen to this, though. The Medicare liability is 32.89 trillion. Is that right? Or billion? I don't know. It gets too much to count. I believe it's 32 trillion in unfunded liabilities for Medicare. What if all of this is a ruse to convert to universal basic income and single payer? And then the government price fixes health care. You don't think it's going to happen? It's probably. Because we have people who would rather watch Netflix and go to Walmart on their stimulus check than work right now. So it's a very real problem in the economy. And hey, I'm not critiquing those who are struggling. I'm just saying the government is incentivizing certain things. Now, the Trump tax break for certain businesses gets a pass in the Biden plan. President Joe Biden is calling for higher taxes on wealthy Americans to cover child care, paid family leave, education programs, and other priorities. Is that really, I don't know. I mean, if we have somebody who loves paid family leave, I always think that's like a ruse. I don't know. I'd much rather, most people that I talk to would rather have money to pay to be with their kids a little bit for the first years of work. So I would work to make America more affordable, not just give a handout. Because then what is going to happen is, okay, then you have like universal pre-K for everybody. A lot of people, they just want to spend time with their kids the first 5 years before they go to school. They don't want to ship their kids off to government schools at the age of two. They want a little more money in their pocket. But this is what happens when you have inflation. Both parents then work or have to work just to make ends meet because the costs of living are so high. Yet the plans exclude a policy he vowed to reel in during the campaign. The 20% deduction for certain businesses. Tax experts share why Biden may have skipped the change and how it may impact revenue. Qualified Business Income Deduction, or QBI as it is known, was part of the 2017 Trump tax cut. The provision allows pass-through businesses, such as sole proprietorships, partnerships, and S-corporations, to deduct up to 20% of eligible revenue. By the way, I think President Biden would get a lot of credit if he made that 20% deduction for all small business. You have less than, 20 employees or 50 employees. Anybody gets it regardless of industry. Because if you were in law, if you were in finance, if you were in parts of medicine, you didn't get this. And those are some of the most successful small businesses we have. So why penalize those companies that are doing well? For 2020, single filers earning less than $163,000 and couples making below $326,600 may qualify for the full 20% deduction. However, those above the thresholds may only take a partial deduction, and some businesses lose the eligibility altogether. For example, so-called specified service trades or businesses, those working in health, law, financial services, and more, aren't eligible at certain income levels. So I'm asking President Biden, you'd get a lot of supporters in the small business community if you exempted those specified service trades or businesses. The 2020 income limit for single filers is $213,000, and couples can't earn more than $426,600. And without an extension from Congress, the deduction will expire after 2025. Although proponents said the pass-through deduction may spark growth, critics say the benefits skew in favor of the wealthy. Richard Winchester, a tax law professor at Seton Hall, said it doesn't benefit folks at the low end, and it's exceedingly complex, so it's very difficult to figure out what policy objective it's designed to accomplish. Well, most accountants figured this out. So, Mr. Winchester, it's not that difficult. It was difficult for the first year, and then we all figured out what you had to do to get the deduction, and then most people got it. High-income households receive significantly more pass-through income than middle class, of course, because they make more money. Moreover, 61% of pass-through tax benefits may go to the top 1% of families, according to a report by the Joint Committee on Taxation. A tax cut on the pass-through side benefits high income in a very large way. That's absurd, Mr. Winchester. See, these are the types of people teaching our children. I believe we've had Mr. Winchester on our show. He was a nice man. So give us a call, folks, 888-988-JOSH. If you want the free review, the retirement reality check, and you get your 45-minute strategy session, 888-988-JOSH. We'll be back after these messages.
Hey, meet you out on the first tee?
Yeah, I'll be right there, just reading this article.
On what?
New bill Congress passed. Looks like it's going to affect the value of all retirement savings plans. My financial guy didn't tell me about this when I saw him the other day.
Well, my guy did, and we made a plan. You may have heard of him, Josh Jelinski.
Josh Jelinski is your guy?
Listen, if you're 10 years or less from retirement,
which I am,
Josh will give you a free economic plan, which includes retirement planning, a 27-point checklist to make sure your income lasts as long as you live. He'll even help you navigate the current tax code.
I'm definitely going to call Josh.
Cool, but first, can we play some golf?
Call Josh Jelinski, host of the popular Financial Quarterback radio program, for your free economic plan. 888-988-JOSH. 888-988-JOSH. 888-988-JOSH.
We're back. Welcome back. Welcome back. This is Josh Jelinski, the financial quarterback. 888-988-JOSH. If you have questions on stocks, bonds, annuities, mutual funds, whatever questions you have, no question is a dumb one except the one that you do not ask. And so call us, figure out what tax benefits are available to you. You have till tomorrow to do an IRA or Roth IRA, so write that check out tomorrow. I believe it has to be postmarked tomorrow, by tomorrow, for you to get your IRA deduction and your Roth. And if your financial advisor or accountant are too busy, just go to your bank and say, I want to create an IRA. You can always transfer it, custodial transfer. So are you taking advantage of the laws afforded to you to get the most from the tax code? Are you taking advantage of a Roth? Are you taking advantage of traditional IRAs? Are you taking advantage of the 20% tax pass-through for small businesses? There's a lot there. So give us a call, 888-988-JOSH, for the No Obligation Retirement Reality Check. Also, you can get my book, Retirement Reality Check, on the website, retirementrealitycheck.com. President Biden encourages businesses to take advantage of the employee retention credit. Here's what you need to know. Folks, have you done that? If you need help, there are strict eligibility rules. So if you need help figuring out if you can get the employee retention tax credit, give us a call. 888-988-JOSH. Elon Musk said this week that Tesla will stop accepting Bitcoin for car purchases, citing environmental concerns. And Secretary of the Treasury Janet Yellen also expressed the same concern. In an SEC filing in February, Tesla revealed it bought $1.5 billion of Bitcoin, but now they're worried about the energy. Apparently, it takes a lot of energy to mine Bitcoin, so much energy that it has a high carbon footprint as high as Chile. Well, what if, though, separating, and we'll talk about that on a future show, but that's interesting. So, folks, give us a call, 888-988-JOSH, 888-988-5674. Would love to meet with you. We have availability through webinars, Zoom conference calls, and the like. Also, phone calls and in-person meetings, safe socially distanced meetings. So call us at 888-988-JOSH. If you want the free retirement reality check, and you get a free gift when you schedule and keep your no-obligation review, 888-988-JOSH. 888-988-JOSH. Call us today for the Wealth Blueprint. We'll go over your asset protection strategies, tax saving strategies, growth strategies. Call us today, 888-988-JOSH,